I especially want to welcome all those that are watching online this morning. We're so thankful to have you watching from all over the place, and we have a lot of friends that are listening via podcast. So, I mean, every week I hear stories about people that they say, we weren't able to make it, but we heard it live on the internet, or we went back and listened to a podcast. So we're just so thankful to have each and every one of our friends online today. And some of you have never actually been in the building, but you're connected. You're part of the family, so we're so thankful to have you. Let's give them a hand this morning. We welcome you. Yep. I want to continue the conversation about our conversation with God, talking to God. And the desire for this is that it goes beyond some sort of forced, pressurized, habitual, religious ritual. I'm not sure the appropriate term. You probably all experience different versions of those kind of things. But into a conversation, truly talking to God, talking to Him, and experiencing the awe-ness, that just to be filled with awe, to experience the awesomeness of God and the intimacy of God. We serve a God that is amazing. He has all power. He's in all places at all time. He actually is beyond time. He's not just in this place and in China and in Brazil and in Antarctica and in Greenland right now and every other place in the galaxies, but He is also in the past and in the present, and He's everywhere. He's awesome. He created you. He knew about you before He created the world. He had you in mind. You were a part of His plan. So that's what we want to do. We want to actually talk to Him. Talk to Him. That seems like a big thing when you really think about who God is. Does anybody in here know a name dropper? Is anybody in here a name dropper? Are you brushing your hair? Is that, you're admitting that? What are you doing? You point to your neighbor? Name droppers are people that use someone's name in a conversation to position themselves. And that using that name helps them be associated with that person, which in return makes them look a little better, right? So I had a friend back in high school, and this is back a long time ago, and actually this was out of high school, but we were hanging out, and there was, you know, in Austin, there's quite a few people that are in the film industry, and they live in Austin, and so they hang out in Austin, things like that. And so my friend was in this conversation with me one time, and several other people, and he was talking all about blah, blah, blah. I went to this party, and Sandy was there, and blah, 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 Sandy this, blah, 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 this and that. And we're like, wait a minute, what are you talking, who's Sandy? And he was like, oh, you know, Sandra Bullock. So not only did he just kind of drop Sandra Bullock in there, but he said, Sandy. You know what I'm saying? Like, not only was I with Sandra Bullock, but, you know, we're tight because I don't call her Sandra. You know, we're on the Sandy basis, all right? So me and Sandy, Erica, you know what I'm talking about. You were there. So that I call that name dropping down. In other words, like you're with somebody and they're kind of down below you and you're dropping a name to make yourself feel like you're even higher. You're dropping that thing down. And so there's also name dropping up. And that just happens when you actually meet somebody that might be famous or might have power, might have prestige, and you're trying to connect with them on a more personal level. So have you ever met anybody that's famous? Like you just happened to run into them, or maybe you were in an autograph line or something like that, and so you're trying to meet them, and instead of just getting your book signed or your CD signed or whatever, you have some sort of way to connect to them. Because if you don't have any common ground with them, you get the basic pat on the shoulder, maybe a picture, shake hands, and you're on your way, and you just kind of brushed up against them and you're gone. But if you have some sort of common ground with them, then you break through that position of, I don't really know you, but if you know somebody that I know, then all of a sudden, we're kind of connected. You know what I'm saying? So I had that happen and it didn't go real well. And do y'all want to hear that story? I figured y'all would want to hear that story. So two years ago, we got tickets to go see Toby Mac, who is probably the number one guy in Christian hip hop, rap, rock, whatever music. And this was a sold out concert at the AT&T Center in San Antonio. So there was at least 30,000 people packed. There was not only people in every seat, but they were packed in the mezzanine area standing and watching. So just packed, packed, packed. Well, it just so happens that we have a friend that gave us tickets, and not just tickets, but backstage passes to go see Toby Mac. And I've told you this story before, but I didn't tell you the whole story. So actually I have a picture of us meeting Toby Mac. There we were, meeting Toby Mac. Cool, cool guy. Very friendly. So we were in the line to meet him. Some other people had won tickets on the radio or something to go backstage and meet him. And so they were all lined up. And our friend was like, hey, let's just go to the back of the line. Let's just wait till everybody gets out of the way. They'll give you more time to talk to him and stuff like that. So we wait, and my kids are just ecstatic. They love Toby Mac. All three of my kids love him, love him, love him, love his music. Very positive, very great quality, songwriter, musician, all that kind of stuff. So we're waiting in line. It comes our time. We're the last one in line. And our friend standing there, who is on stage with him, he's one of the workers in the crew. And I couldn't just leave it at that. You know, I couldn't just leave it at, like, we're connected because Eric here is our buddy, and we all, yeah, great, great, shake hands, autograph, all that stuff. No. I had to take it another step. And I was like, hey, I know your cousin. And he was like, really, you do? I said, yeah, this is her name. And as soon as I said it, he was like, okay. And he started kind of talking about her, and it wasn't a real difficult way, but it wasn't like, oh man, you know her? All right, well, we're buds, you know, like we're brothers now, you know, like, hey, here's my cell phone, you know, here's a text me anytime you want, you know. It was like, okay. Well, I'm glad you know her, you know. Let's go on about our way. And man, It didn't work at all. It did not work at all. So when I look back at that whole meeting, it was a good time. It wasn't a disaster. It wasn't like he said, get away from me, you're horrible, you know her. But it just didn't have that open door that I was thinking that it might have. Names are interesting, aren't they? A name, someone's name. They have the power to unlock something. They have the power to bind something. When you sign something, you put your legal name on it. So if I were to sign my check, son, like that, that wouldn't work. They would go, the bank would look at that, that's nothing. You know, that means nothing. But when I sign my check with my actual name on it, the name is this special, unique thing And as you see, my name is C. Robin Steele. Y'all know what the C stands for? Christopher Robin. Steele. Just let that sink in for a second. When I sign my actual name, that piece of paper becomes valuable all of a sudden. As before I sign that check, when there's no signature, when my name is not on that check from my signature, it is not able to be transferred as actual tender or money until I put my actual name on it. Sometimes we don't want people to know that we're connected with a name. Maybe you've got a relative or somebody that's connected to you, or a friend or an association of some sort. And if people were to know that you were related to that name, then all of a sudden they would have a different perception of who you are. That can be a difficult thing to happen. Scripture actually talks about dropping the name, and it's a very good thing. Ephesians, the second chapter, in the 18th verse. For through him, talking about Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access. Everybody say access. Through him, through Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, or of the household of God. In other words, you get backstage passes. Actually, you have more than backstage passes. You can get on the bus and you can go home with God. Access in that passage was the permission granted to an ancient king, granting someone an audience. So the king was very secluded, very protected. In those days, they didn't just let anybody in. It's just similar today. They have Secret Service and all that stuff to protect presidents and kings, because if someone were to get in their presence, they could take their life easily. But to get access means that you get inside. And so there was very, very difficult ways to get access to the ancient king. What Paul is saying here, right now, you have access to the Father in heaven who created all things. And even though you're an insignificant, messed up little human being, you can go have a conversation with the eternal Father, the eternal, all-powerful, perfect, creative force in the world. You can have a conversation with him. You can have access to God. And all you need to do to start a conversation with God is drop a name. You're approaching the Heavenly Father. You are getting the idea that you might like to connect with God and know him better. And you are very much disconnected from him, because you are not all powerful. You are not in all places at all times. You are definitely constricted by time and by the forces of nature and gravity and all these other things that restrict us here as humans. And so not only that, but we have sin in our life that makes us imperfect. We have things in our life that are not morally right or ethically right, or we've done things that are wrong. And not only that, we're a human being, like the whole race, the whole species has been separated. And so if we are to get back into relationship with an almighty, all-powerful God, we can drop a name. We can drop a name. Dropping the name Jesus gives us access, gives us credibility, gives us common ground in our conversation with God. Think about that. Let's just leave that up on the screen just for a second. Jesus the Christ. Christ is not his last name. I don't know if you knew that or not. Christ is, it's not like Mary and Joseph Christ, and Jesus was Jesus Christ. Christ means he's the Messiah. Yeshua, or it's very closely related to Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, his name gives us access. It is that powerful name that cuts through and elevates and brings us close to an almighty God. Gives us some of that common ground that we need in order to relate to a God. Gives us some credibility. We can try to all of our life accrue and develop and hoard up credibility. But even if we were to be flawless our entire life and be perfect in everything that we do, at the end of our life, the distance between our perfectness and the perfection of God is still so vast and so different. So what this does, when we say Jesus, we begin to create common ground in order that there would be a substantial relationship. It's extremely rare for any relationship to be any good at a or deep or meaningful or rich if there's not common ground. There's got to be some sort of connectivity. You know, there's a minority of relationships that start because of just randomness, and they're totally in different places in life, totally different economic situations, or you know, all the things that make us different. The majority of the time, we are connected and most friendly and closest to the people that are what? They're like us. There's nothing really wrong with that. That's not a problem. It's just, that's just the way it goes. There's some commonality. We click. We're clicking. We're doing well. The ancient philosopher Aristotle came to the same conclusion thousands of years ago. He reasoned that friendships require both parties to share commonness as equals. And when it came to the gods, he said, while it may be possible to honor and appease the gods, actual intimate friendship with the god was impossible. So ancient lands and ancient religions from all over the world and different parts of the world, different cultures, each had temples. The temples were the place that human beings thought they could begin to close the gap between them and their disconnection with God. There was this chasm between humanity and divinity. And all over the world, no matter what culture you go to, what religion they practice, all of them are trying to close that thing, close that space and get connected to God, appease the gods and welcome the gods and make sure the gods know that they're welcome on earth. And here we're going to offer our kids as sacrifice. So we're going to offer our things, our possessions. We're going to do ceremonies and we're going to sing songs and we're going to go through all this ritual in order to bring humanity and God together. God is great. We are small. God is perfect. We are flawed. So temples and rituals were this place. It was an effort made by human beings to eliminate that gap. And sacrifices and offerings and rituals were made by the professionals, by the priests who were the mediators, the one that connected man and God. So there was holy people within the sect of religion that had separated themselves and lived the best life they could in order to be a mediator between God and between man. And so these priests would offer their sacrifices and try to bring this divine being close to them. And it wasn't until Christianity that a religion claimed that the gap could be officially closed. Officially closed. Hebrews 4:14. Since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours Jesus understands our weakness, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us what? So let us come boldly. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. So therefore, that very first word of verse 16. So therefore, because of what we've just said, now let this next thing happen, basically is what that means. That's a transition word. Because of what we just said about what Jesus did and who Jesus is, he is our high priest. He is our mediator between us and God. And he's not just any mediator, he is our high priest. And our mediator Jesus is not one that just temporarily goes every day and paves the way for us. But in Jesus' life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, he forever paved the way for humanity. Verse 16. To let us come boldly before the throne of our gracious God. Therefore, we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Hebrews 2, 17. Let's go back to chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us. He's like us. We're his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. So how can we in San Marcos or wherever you're watching online or listening online, how could we approach God with such complete confidence, boldly go before the throne? It's because God became like us, equally mortal. He was mortal. He was able to die and subject to suffering and death. He did it so that we could be forgiven and justified by faith apart from our efforts and our merits. Amen. We as humans surrender our life to God and we confess the name of Jesus. We go ahead and drop that name. And we're not just dropping it like those people that you know that drop names. This is in the most holy and reverent and submissive way. God, I can come to you today, and I do come to you today because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, I may be able to speak to you today. Because Jesus, the Christ, Jesus, the Messiah, that name makes things happen. It's what begins something transferred upon other things. It's a reaction upon reaction in the spiritual realm and in the natural realm. Father, I come to you today. Not because I did well this week or because I've got scripture memorized or because I gave in the offering or because I volunteered at Promised Land or because I went to church this Sunday. Now I'm going to come to you today. No, none of that is enough to go to God. The only way we have access and a little bit of common ground and a little bit of credibility is when we say, I speak in the name of Jesus. I come to you today because of Jesus. I'm claiming Jesus. I'm claiming what Jesus did. I want to come to you today and I want to talk to you, God, because of Jesus, because of who he is and what he means. Last week, this series I thought was going to be 4 weeks. It might be the rest of the year. I'm not sure, because the only thing we've got in 2 weeks is Father, that was last week. Father, I want to know you so that if I know you, then our attention span will grow longer and all that kind of stuff. That was last week. And if you didn't get that, go get it. This week is, Father, I come to you because or in the name of Jesus. Jesus, that is such a beautiful name. And those people that have come to know and love the name of Jesus, that's why we are repelled and we are offended and we are hurt when people take that name and use it in vain. Because that word means something to us. It's not that it's a religious thing that if you do that, then you've cursed God or you whatever. No, it just means something to me. And so the name of Jesus means something to me because I understand my own depravity and I understand my own sin-filledness. I understand how bad my life has been and how much I've wanted it to be different. But in the name of Jesus, my life can be different. In the name of Jesus, I can go to my Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, Ephesians 2 says, we have access through Him. We have access through Jesus in the Holy Spirit to the Father. Interesting. The dimensions of God that are mentioned in this one verse. I have access through Jesus in the Holy Spirit to the Father. I just want to speak about the Holy Spirit for a second. We're going to go a little bit further and talk about the Holy Spirit. And if you've got a Bible, turn with me to Romans, the 8th chapter, in the 22nd verse. I want to just walk through this passage. This is the closing thought. This may take a while, Lacey, so don't come up just quite yet. The closing thought means we've just crossed halfway, okay? We're it's all downhill from here. Romans 8, 22 is a paradigm. It's a paradigm shift for people that are walking toward Christ and not walking toward the devil or toward themselves or toward this culture. This is a paradigm shift that we began talking about last Easter. There's more to this story. There's more to this story than you individually finding your own salvation. Jesus did not come just so you would live for Him or live with Him in heaven after you die. There's a much deeper story to this. And that's what Romans, the 8th chapter, really talks about. It says, for we know that All creation has been groaning as in the pain of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan. That word groan or groanings, you get that feeling that it connotates right there, that depth of emotional grief. That's the groaning that all creation. That doesn't just mean all people. It also means trees and plants and water and ecosystems. It means tsunamis and tidal waves and hurricanes and tornadoes and floods. It means droughts or groanings. That creation has fallen and is separated from God. Not only do you feel the groaning in your own life of this is not perfect. This life is so broken. This life is not right. I'm suffering from diagnosis or prognosis or divorce or bankruptcy or whatever it is. You yourself are groaning inwardly saying, this is not right. This life is not good. This life is broken. And Paul's saying, yeah, you're groaning, but the whole creation is groaning because the whole creation has been separate from God, has been separated from God. And so every cataclysmic event on the face of the earth is this moaning and groaning of wanting to be returned back to the Creator. We as believers groan even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. We long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. That's our own personal grief and moaning. And it says right there, the Holy Spirit God's Spirit, which is God on the earth, just as Jesus was in the earth as a flesh human being. Now God is in the earth physically in the Spirit. He is tangible and manifest in the earth through the power of His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. And it says it has come inside of us as believers as just a foretaste of future glory. So even right now, today, being filled with the power of His Holy Spirit, it's still just a taste. It's still just the beginning of someday God's gonna make it all right. Verse 23, we too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as adopted children. Right now, we just live in the hope of, in the future of, including the new bodies He promised us. How many of y'all want a new body? Can eat all the sugar you want. Come on, somebody. Woo! There was a day when food was not damaging to your body. And I don't know if it was invented then and it just wasn't bad for you, or if you just ate, you know, asparagus and it tasted like an ice cream cone. I'm not sure how that happened. But there's a day that we look for and we hope because of the resurrection of Jesus. We were given this hope. Somebody say hope. When we were saved. Listen, if we've already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. For the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with those groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. This is a symphony. I want you to think about your conversation with God. I want you to think about your conversation with God is one instrument that is just joining in a symphony. Other people are praying. The Holy Spirit is in the mix. The Holy Spirit, it says, is uttering and praying. And sometimes that comes through our English. Sometimes that comes through another language that we speak out. And sometimes I believe it says not even words can compute it or dictate it or translate it or even articulate it. But the Spirit is doing something that goes beyond even words. That when we pray, the Holy Spirit is blending and mixing and encouraging our own spirit. And so we are participating with something that's much bigger and much more expansive than you finding God on your own and being saved so that you can go to heaven when you die. It's so much bigger than that, that you are stepping into the symphony of the creation and you're participating in the creation being returned back to the Creator. And that resurrection of Jesus is just a foretaste. It was the future resurrection placed right there in the timeline. So we've been born after the resurrection. So when we want to dream about and think about and have hope for the future, our hope is based on the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. We have hope in the future because Jesus was raised from the dead. And that is our hope, that right now we are just tasting. This is just a foretaste. We can just sample it. It's just like the hors d'oeuvres of the full resolution that's going to happen someday. Each one of us could be a picture of that. So that's what prayer, our conversation with God is really, the bigger picture of you talking to God. It's one part of His creation that's getting back to its original intention. it's going back. We're talking to God. We're coming back to God. The Holy Spirit, those of us that have been in this for a while, knows that the Holy Spirit makes us feel good. It's hard to articulate what that means, and this is just an effort, a trial run to see maybe this nails it. The Holy Spirit gives us an inward confidence, and that confidence is twofold. Number one, that what you're going through is legitimate. It's a real problem. The legitimacy that the pressure you are feeling is valid. But at the same time, God is in control. The Holy Spirit. Yeah, let's give a hand to that. Now, Lacey, come on and help us out. Martin Luther, hundreds of years ago, crafted this prayer. So good. Although you could rightly and properly be a severe judge over us sinners, now through your mercy, implant in our hearts a comforting trust in your fatherly love. And let us experience the sweet and pleasant savor of a childlike certainty that we may joyfully call you Father, knowing and loving you and calling on you in every trouble. Let's talk to God. Let's join the conversation. Let's join with creation. Let's talk to God. Talk to God more. Prayer is the way to experience a powerful confidence that God is handling our lives well, that our bad things will turn out for good. Our good things cannot be taken from us, and the best things are yet to come.